Loneliness is so common that we have a tendency to overlook it as being the root problem a lot of the concerns that we have in our life. Loneliness is horrible. And I remember it when I was studying psychology. One of the great problems that each different individual had, and the root of that problem was their feeling of being alone. The feeling of being alone is horrible. And as I go through this morning, I'm going to get you every age bracket, but I want you to understand something. I remember my professor, when I first mentioned it, I thought that, you know, this guy's out of his mind anyway. Of course, most psych professors were just a little bit shaky if you ever had to take it in college. But one thing that he said that really bothered me was, have you ever felt lonely in the middle of a crowd of people? Have you ever felt lonely in the middle of a crowd? Well, I'm sitting back there in class, being quiet like I always was. Yes, I've had that feeling many times, the feeling of loneliness. And I thought, here he is, letting me know that I'm going crazy. And all I'm doing is trying to study and learn. And the more that I studied and the more that I learned, the more that I realize that's common for every individual that's in existence. The state of feeling lonely is different than from being alone. The little world that the Bible speaks of so often that you and I live in is that inside world where we live. Your thoughts, your imagination, everything on the inside of you, that's your little world in here. And I'll tell you, nobody can penetrate that little world. Now, you might talk about how you feel in all of this, but you're not going to tell everything about how you feel. You're going to withhold a lot of times because you don't want to hurt someone. A lot of times because you don't think anybody can do you any good if you do tell it, and all that's going to do is start gossip. So you just hold it in. You are normal, just like any other human being on the face of the earth. All of us have problems, and all of us at some point feel lonely. That loneliness has a lot of power. Loneliness can cause folks to do foolish things. Loneliness in the power in itself of the power, just an individual being alone and feeling alone. See, I've been alone a lot of times, but as a Christian, I never felt alone. But I've been lonely right in the middle of a whole bunch of people. But Christ never left me alone. That was my feeling. Have you ever had some thoughts in you that, you know, you're thinking that, why is everybody else normal and I'm not? Well, I got news for you. They're not either. I have no idea of what to compare being normal to. To whom? To what? To God? Well, I'm so far removed from that greatness of God, I dare not ever compare myself to that. But as we look at the loneliness today, I want us to look at four main causes of loneliness, and I want us to deal with it. Folks, if you haven't felt alone, you will. That's called life. That's called living. I'm going to give you the story today. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 4, 6 through 21. This is actually the story of the Apostle Paul's final few months, maybe 2 to 3 months that he lived after this letter with Timothy. Now, Paul, the Apostle Paul, had been through everything, through stonings, through every type of hurt and pain that you can imagine. He was guilty of causing murder. He had done everything until he ran face to face into Jesus Christ, turned his life over. Jesus called him to spread the word to us, the Gentiles. The Apostle Peter was called by God to spread the word to the Jewish nation, to the Hebrews. Paul was called to bring the word to the heathens, Gentiles. Who is a Gentile? Anybody that was not or is not a Jew is a Gentile. Therefore, Paul was called by God, I want you to take this message to them, let them know that they can become a child of God, whosoever will let them come. So Paul, the great preacher, is doing that. But at the beginning, God himself saw loneliness as being so harmful to each one of us, his favorite of creation, that he did not want man to be alone. Listen to Genesis 2, verse 18. The Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. It is not good. God created us to be together. He created us to fellowship together. He created us to have a union together. God said, I have a purpose for you. My purpose for you is to love you. I have created you so I can love you and I can express my love to you and give you the ability to express your love back to me and to all those around you. God says, I love you. Therefore, I don't want you to be alone. Four main reasons for loneliness. The first one deals with a transition. Any change in your life can make you feel lonely. Any change whatsoever, a divorce, school, going to school, graduating from school, it can give you that lonely feeling. The sorrow, the hurt, the pain that goes along with loneliness. A job, a situation in a job, a career, and that career you see crashing, or that career building, in the process of building, you feel lonely. You can be great and successful, and then all of a sudden one day you stand up and you look yourself in the mirror and you say, I'm so lonely. I may be all successful in everything that I've done, but I'm lonely. What causes that loneliness? What have we done? What have we left out of our life? And saying that and knowing that that loneliness is so horrible, the Apostle Paul, in his dying process he's going through here, let us know something. The most lonely people in the world are the elderly. Now, do you hear me? The loneliest people in the world are the elderly. In our young age, we sort of are able to fill in the voids. I don't care. As you grow older, you realize, yeah, you care. And it hurts. When we get up into our elderly age, I do not dare put a number on that elderly age. I know better than that. I'm not that foolish to say it. But as you get elderly, What you're looking for is the friend, the people, the family that will stand with you. Any of you, as you grow older, I know nobody in here has reached this yet. Do you notice you get forgetful? And in your children. I mean, you've had those kids ever since. Got it? And then you've got more than one. But they don't know who you're talking to half the time because you call them by the wrong name. So they have learned to just answer. Okay. And that goes on with old age. I don't know why. I have my own theory of that. I think we have too much on our mind. I think we try to help so many people in their problems that their problems, we get confused and to the point that we've just got so much up here going on that we forget who we're talking to. There's no telling how many names I have used for Brother Randy and talking to him, and I always blame it on my memory. But God says, I want you to know loneliness is dangerous. Folks, every suicide that I've ever worked, every time I've ever been with individuals when I'm working over the years, with the suicides in the prison systems or in the public, it didn't matter. I guarantee you it started with being alone, loneliness. Feeling like they had nobody that they could turn to. Well, you see, that's where we come in as Christians. You can't always be there, but you can always tell them about Jesus. You can always tell them and express the love of God for their life. But the elderly, do you know that 70% of the elderly that are in nursing homes never receive a visit from family? 70% of elderly in the nursing homes never receive a visit from family members. You have different groups that go from nursing home. Many times from churches that'll go to sing. I'm talking about from family. Family means something. It's important that you don't neglect your responsibility of taking care of the elderly in your family, to care, concern. Now, let me tell you something from experience. Me with my mother that, as you know, went on to be at the Lord at 105. I was always there with her to help her. I never pleased her. It wasn't anything I did that was able to please her. But there's the point where she had gotten. That also is one of the reasons that a lot of family members want to stay away. But you need to know that that's a breakdown in the mind. That's a breakdown or a failure of that elderly individual thinking, I should be doing this for you, not you doing it for me. Do you remember the first commandment given with a promise? Honor thy father and thy mother, and the promise was and is that your days may be long upon the earth. It's the honor that you will give to those who raised you, to those who took the hits that you don't know about, that made sure you had what you needed to have, to always be there, to always make your biscuit just a little bit bigger because you went on a diet, so they'll put a little bit more because they love you. You got me? Don't forget that. Remember the elderly, whether they're related to you or not. For you, one day, if you live long enough, will be there also. Paul was elderly. Paul was hurting. Paul was in pain from all of the times he had been stoned, from life itself, the physical pain that he was in. And he says to Timothy, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure." Paul knew it. "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race." Now, listen to me. Pay attention to that. He didn't say, "I won the race," as I hear quoted so often. He said, "I finished the race. I have kept the faith." The winning of your race and all of your life was won by Jesus Christ. Jesus won the race, and he wants us to go across the finish line in what he has called us to do, the ministry that he has given us. Don't quit. Don't give up. Go forward. For the race had been won. All I want you to do is cross the finish line that I have given you. Victory is in Jesus. Amen. Your finish line will never finish. Hear me well. You will never die. You will live throughout eternity. It's just according to where you're going to live as to who you accept as Lord and Savior of your life right here. I accept the Savior that's already won my race. He fought my battles for me. He fought your battles for you. And he says, "I know life is going to be hard." Paul found it out. And Paul had taken the hit in his elderly age. I'm here. "Timothy, I need you. Won't you come?" "Timothy," I'll tell you that in a moment, but "Timothy, I want you to tell John Mark." John Mark, yes, of the Gospel of Mark. They had had an argument that you couldn't believe. Paul said, "I don't even want him with me. I want him away from me. I'm going over here, Barnabas. Tell Mark not to even come." If that little tussle hadn't happened, Russia wouldn't have got the message that God wanted Mark to take to him. I want you to think about something. God has a purpose for every situation. And God will make whatever the situation is work out to glorify him. That's in your individual life. That's in the life of the church. That's in the life of a nation. You got it? That's your family living. Number two, that causes that lonely feeling is separations, where you move from one area to the other. You lose friendships. You've left there. It's hard making new friends. Good gracious, folks, you don't know who to be friends with. I mean, it's amazing what is going on in our generation. But we need the friendship. We need the fellowship. We need the laughter. We need the peace. Listen to what Paul says to Timothy. "Do your best," in verses 9 and 21, "do your best to come to me quickly. Do your best to get here before winter." Paul said, "I'm running out of time here. I need to see you. I need a friendly face. I need a helping hand. I don't move like I used to move. Get here quickly, because I need to feel that relationship once again." Paul was lonely. Preaching the gospel, winning souls for Christ. And in his old age, he saw himself as lonely, needing the fellowship, needing the touch of a friend. That touch is amazing, isn't it? And to put the arm around you, to hug you. You just know that they're there and they care. Come quickly, he said. Deployment for us in the military, to be deployed, that causes loneliness for the family. That's so horrible. To be deployed fighting for your country and you feel lonely. Well, it's nobody else's fault. Nobody's upset with you. You have friends, but your mate's not there. The one, the two of you that have grown so close together, and it makes that loneliness. Look at the illness with COVID that we've had to deal with. The separation, visiting each other through a storm door, leaving the door closed so we wouldn't get the elderly sick. You know, that's the time that I figured out for myself that I said, you know, got to be careful, make sure the elderly don't catch something. And I looked in the mirror and I realized, oh, I'm one of the elderly now. And here I am saying that. But I wanted to visit, wanted to be around. The loneliness will creep in for these folks. How many interviews have you listened to see those individuals? What was their main problem? I couldn't visit and hold my grandkids, my children. I had to be away. Getting put in the hospital for the surgeries and not allowing your family to even be there with you. Folks, that hurts, doesn't it? That's a loneliness that goes to the depth. Well, Jesus felt that loneliness. Yes, he did. Jesus knew that he had a job to do. But to do that job meant that he was going to be the loneliest person and have the loneliest feeling of anybody. He's hanging on a cross for nothing he had done. Everything that I had done and you had done. He's hanging on that cross. But in order for the debt for your sin and my sin to totally be paid, Jesus had to feel what it was like for God to forsake him. How many people have you heard, God's forsaken me? I don't feel what I used to feel, or I don't feel God. I know that God has turned his back on me. Maybe it's my fault, but I feel forsaken. Well, you haven't been. And here's how I can tell you you haven't been. The proof. Jesus Christ hung on a cross for my sins and your sins. And while hanging there, the most horrible of all punishments was placed upon him for all the billions of people that would ever exist, all of it on his back. And the most awesome and horrible of all those feelings was being totally separated from his Father. Listen to me. That had never happened. That had never happened. Jesus had never been separated from God the Father ever before time was. Jesus was with his Father. The Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit were always together. But at that point, Jesus had promised, I will be the sacrifice. Well, son, that sacrifice means that you have to take the feeling, the emotion, the trauma, the physical condition of everything that has ever existed, and you must take the punishment of being separated from me. Jesus knew this before he went to the cross. He knew that one day, but in the human condition, Jesus felt it. And remember, he cried out from the cross, "Daddy, Daddy, why have you forsaken me?" Oh, what a feeling. Can you imagine you being the father and your child yelling out to you, knowing that child is so lonely, knowing that child is feeling the pain of being totally alone, totally abandoned. And I realized during the studies over the years, the why Jesus was me and you. We are the why that God let his own son feel what it was like to be separated from God the Father. Jesus didn't like that feeling. And in that instant, God declared Jesus repeated, "That's enough." When God says that's enough, that's it. The debt had been paid in full. You and I get to grow across a finish line. And the race had already been won, and you get the trophy. He just said, "I want you to finish. I want you to walk across the line that's been won for you. And I have a reward for you. But Lord, I've done nothing." Do you know the secret? When you trust Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, there is waiting for you a crown of righteousness. Now you're going to mess up. You're going to have so many mistakes going through life. That's what life does. But you see, because of that, God knew that you couldn't win the race. He sent Jesus to win it for you. And he offers, "Come on across the line, because I give you victory. Victory is in my son." And that loneliness, oh, it subsides for eternity. And then another loneliness that hits us is that of opposition. Oh gosh, I don't care where it is, whether it's at work, whether it's at play, it's the opposition. When you're under attack by others, especially family and friends. Will it happen? Sure it's happened. You know it happens. You're under attack by family and friends. You're doing what you feel God has called you to do, but you're not doing what they think you should do. Not wrongly. Don't get me wrong. Not out of any kind of vindictiveness, but simply because they don't know. See, I don't know your calling. I don't know what God has called you to do, but I do know he's given you the freedom to learn in your own heart what he's called for you to do. And he says, "I want you to trust me." But that's a lonely feeling, folks. When you feel like that you have in some way pushed your family aside or disappointed them in what you do. That's a lonely feeling. Listen to verse 14. Paul knew this one. Paul's preaching gospel, giving Alexander, this metal worker, giving him an opportunity. Alexander, best we can tell is, you know, he may have been offered the opportunity, but Alexander used what little that he had knowledge of to go against the Apostle Paul. Listen to this, verse 14. "Alexander, the metal worker, did me a great deal of harm. The greatest problem you'll ever have in your life is when someone of God tells God on you. You hear me? When someone of God tells God on you, you got a problem. Now, God will either wake you up or you'll turn and walk away. But Paul says, I'm lonesome here. Come on. And then the last is rejection. The most painful is when you feel betrayed, forsaken, or abandoned by family and friends. I won't ask you to raise your hand. Please don't. But I want you to think about that. How many times have you felt that? Whether or not it's a fact of matter, but did you feel abandoned by your family and friends? Nobody cares anymore. That's loneliness, folks. Verse 16. At my first defense, when I needed somebody, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. That's nobody stood the ground. Everybody in here has a calling from God. Everyone. Not just the pastor. Not just Brother Randy or Paula or anyone else. Every one of us have a special call from God. Just because others don't see that calling, just because others don't support you in that calling, there's a finish line for you to walk across, because all you need to do is say, Lord, I'm coming home. Well, the only way home is across that finish line. You got me? You're going home. The race has been won. Just walk across the finish line. Paul said, I have finished my race, the race God had given him. Paul went on home to be with the Lord soon after that. But he knew his days were short, but he knew his eternity was forever. That's the word of God, and it don't get better than that. Let's pray. Father, we praise your holy name, giving you thanks for life. Giving you thanks, dear Lord God, for the love that you place around us. Help us during those lonely periods, Father. Give us courage and boldness. Give us strength to stand strong. For, Father, in your hands and in your hands only will we find peace and the cure for all that loneliness. We ask your blessing now, dear Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, your pastor loves you. I want you to be safe. I will do everything. We will do everything in this church to make sure that it remains so within the parameters. I want everybody to look at Steve Trotter right here to my right first. Wave at him, Steve. This is the head of our security at the church. I don't know whether you all realize this or not, but churches are under attack right and left. Things that are going on and all of this, and it takes a strong security team and those individuals who love the Lord that make sure that your children and everybody else is protected. Always thank them when you get ready to go out. You can and spot them. One thing about our security team, when this began a few years back, wanted to make sure that any bad guys would know we have a security team. I don't want them stopping here. They might want to go to the Presbyterian church, but I don't want them stopping here. I don't. Let them see it and let them go somewhere else. So you give them a thanks for that, if you would, please. And don't forget it. You're well protected. Trust me. Now let's all stand together, please. It's going to be a beautiful week. God's made it. I need to see you. After church, I need to see you. So make sure, as you're walking through this week, look down in the ditch of life. You'll see someone down there hurting worse than you ever dreamed of hurting. Reach that hand down in the ditch of life. You just might touch a hand of Jesus. Whatever you do as you go, don't gossip. Go in love. Go in peace. Go in service to God. God bless you.